We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Well, weather's slightly different out there today compared to yesterday. But anyway, currently it is 29 here at Elk City, 27 at Camargo, 27 at Woodward, 27 at Cherokee, and then you get down there just right below, back kind of where the Beckham County southern border of Beckham County and Custer County is. There's a line there, and it's 35 in Altus, 38 in Granfield, 36 in Tipton, 34 in Hollis. Down there at Wellington, Texas, it's 34, 27 at Shamrock, and 26 in Slapout, Oklahoma. I don't know what's let's see what the wind's doing. Let me get back over here to the wind. Looks like the winds are kind of out of the northeast at 16 miles an hour here in Beckham County with wind gust up to 19. And up there in Woodward County at the airport, I don't know if that's right or not, says it's out of the north at 6 miles an hour. So it must have calmed down. The front's coming through here. Anyway, it's I'll have your Long Ranger forecast for northwestern and southwestern Oklahoma coming up for you here later on in the show. Meanwhile, I have to tell you about my adventure this morning down to the Griff Ranch, I call it, where I went to cake the cows. I don't cake them very often, but I felt like I needed to cake them this morning since I can't get no hay to them till tomorrow. My bull, he's gone. My other bull in the other pasture, 2 miles north, he's gone. My neighbors to the bull to the east is gone. Not sure if anybody else's bulls are gone, but them three or four were gone. So I was yelling at the cows to come to the pickup, and I seen this bull over there in my neighbor's pasture to the north, pacing the fence line, and I thought that was Frosty. And Frosty is this Simmental bull that we've raised since a baby. It was born with both front legs frozen, couldn't walk on them. Sandy and I bottle fed this calf till it was 2 weeks old. And one day we got there and he was gone. The mama stayed with him. We fed him water and alfalfa out in the middle of this quarter. Didn't want to. The grass was really big there. That calf was better off right there in that high grass where it's warm and stuff than in the lot where all the cows were hanging out. And one day we showed up and he was gone. We found him and his mama with the rest of the cows, and he was walking on his knees. And about a month later, he was walking on his feet. And so Sandy, being the sentimental animal lover that she is, this guy wasn't never going to leave our pasture. So I took him, when he got bigger, I took him down, and I had him tested, and his semen was good and everything. Took him down to the our place, that was on my son's place where he was born, and we was just going to make a monument out of him. That's all he's going to do. He ends up having some of the best calves we've ever had. And we call him Frosty, and because he's only got half ears, because that night he was born, his legs were frozen and all this other stuff. It was one of the coldest nights we've had a long time there, about 4 years ago. And so this year he's decided that he needs to go see the neighbors more than staying at home. And I seen him over there, and he was quite a ways off, and I thought it was him. Now anyway, I was yelling at him. I could usually get him to come to me, and I hand feed him and get him to come to a Walmart sack, and he wasn't coming. He kept heading straight east. So I finished what I was doing with the cows, looked at him, drove out on the county road, went over there to the east side of the section. He's still coming. He's solid black, and he's walking just like Frosty. So I get a sack of cake, a half sack, walk out in the field. I'm just going to let him out on the road and get him back in the gate on my place. gets closer, he's not my bull. I thought, huh. Anyway, it was the neighbor's bull missing from the other place. And so I called them, let them know that they found their bull. And because the reason why I noticed this wasn't my bull, he's got an ear tag. My bull doesn't have an ear tag because he doesn't have ears. Anyway, I was just going to get him out on the road and head him that direction where he belongs. And nope. He shook his head and kind of run at me. And I'm thinking, he looked pretty good in the freezer at Whataburger or McDonald's. He keeps pulling that crap. Anyway, so I called them, and I think they've got him in and got him situated. And on the way back, man, the deer are rutting. Oh, my gosh, there's bucks chasing girls everywhere you look. So I've seen 15 coyotes in my travels in the last 2 days. So them things are a little too thick. And as soon as deer season's over, we're going to start on to that deal because calving season's coming up here in a couple months. We'll get that all done with. But that was the adventure I was wanting to – thought I found my bull, but I didn't. And then later, the guy to the north of me called me and said my bull was in my pasture. He just didn't want to come to where I was at. So anyway, two of the three missing bulls are found, which is good news. Everyday occurrence out on the farm and ranch. We all know that. And anyway, I hope everybody doesn't have bull troubles like I do, but I think we all do. And that's why I'm kind of leaning towards this rent a bull. Rent a bull from a guy that has all these bulls and just rent them and go back and either that, because I don't have time to do the AI program. I really want to, and I think with things calming down a little bit after we get moved here, it'll be good. Also, I got a text from Miss Lori Campbell, famous cowgirl from Arnett, and thank you guys for all going to the Metcalf Museum last night for the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association fall gathering. They was, what did she tell me? Hang on here. Where's it at? Woo, right there. 99 people showed up for the fall gathering, which she's ecstatic. She's so happy, especially out here in rural America, out here in western Oklahoma. 99 people showed up for the deal. So anyway, thank you again for showing up for the fall gathering. I hope there was good information there. I'm sorry I missed it. I'm still in the process of moving, but I will tell you that I will be done by dark tonight and just in time for deer season. The only deer I've seen in my travels, but I'm gonna go out and see if I can get me a big one, a 30 pointer. How about that? And hadn't been in the mood to even look at deer or even think about quail hunting since I lost my deer tracker and my bird hunting buddy a couple weeks ago. I hadn't even thought about it. So she will be dearly missed. She was very successful at finding dead deer. As long as the deer was dead, she could find them. And she was 9 of 11. And so the other two, I don't even know if they were dead or not. And then she did find one live one down there on Willow Ridge Ranch. By the way, if you can see, I'm wearing their hoodie today. That's Kelly and Joey. They have the Willow Ridge Ranch, and Joey got one, and Kelly and Zoe found it. And surprise, that thing come from the dead to the live. So it was all good. So anyway, but she will be missed dearly, and I hope everybody has a very successful opening morning of rifle season starting in the morning. Don't start it tonight. Won't be good. And then what else I got? Oh, today is the Wheeler General Store Happy Cap Hour. I'll have more on the Wheeler General Store coming up for you here shortly. And then Mr. I don't know if he's listening today, but Mr. Steve Clark down there in the Frederick area, big listener. Thank you very much for listening. He was on Facebook last night, and him and another lady were talking about it. She said, hey, I heard your name on the radio the other day, because I've been picking a different town to do the weather forecast on the Long Rangers every day this week, and I'm going to keep doing it just so everybody feels like they're part of the show. And anyway, he's saying, you know, when my tractor's going one way, I get a signal. When my tractor's not going the other way, I don't get a signal. So I was telling him about the free Paragon Communications download app that you can download on your phone, and you can listen to me anywhere, anytime, as long as you've got phone service and the app is working, or not, it's always working, but as long as you can pick up signal to work the app. Anyway, he informed me that he wasn't very technical, up to date, and plus his vehicles, I think he said his newest truck was a 2005, his newest tractor was a 1999, so they don't have Bluetooth in them, obviously. And anyway, I got him on that one. I have a 1988 tractor or 89 tractor, that my 4960 John Deere, but I got him on the truck. I got Bluetooth in my 2019 Chevrolet 3500, so I got him there. He got to inform me that somehow or another me and him might be kin, but we don't know about it. I don't know if we're brothers from different mothers or whatever's going on, but surely everybody's kin. It all started out with Adam and Eve, so we're all kin. But anyway, it was pretty funny talking to him. Sounds like he's pretty humorous, and appreciate him listening. Appreciate everybody listening. But let's go take a break. When I come back, I'll talk to you about the markets. We got Elk City happening today, and actually, before I take a break, I want everybody to think about this. Next Wednesday, Hobart will not be having their sale. Thursday, Woodward won't be having their sale. This is Thanksgiving week, next week, and Elk City will not be having their sale Friday. I haven't found out about Hollis on next Saturday, but I don't see them having it. But when I find out about Hollis, I will let you know. So just remember, probably the only sale next week will probably be Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Monday, and that's actually their special wing calf sale. You don't want to miss that. If you got wheat pasture and you want to put calves out there, I think they're estimating between 2,000 and 3,000 long-term wing calves to be sold there, so that's all good. And then Tuesday is the Woodward Cow and Bull Sale, and I'm not sure that they're going to have their sale. I need to find that out from Mr. Jerry Nine. When Nathan gets here, he can call Jerry. We'll find out. But Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction will actually for sure be having theirs next Monday. So anyway, we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
They're built better. They're tough. It's heavier steel, rubber flooring. They're framed in differently. Their tires come 18 ply. You could drive through a mesquite patch. These things are just built to use out in the thick of things. If you're going to catch a cow out in the middle of a section, you're going to drag a Hughes trailer out there to her. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246.
This is your Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, November 14th. 1,389 head were sold. 65 head of steers at 488 brought 188. 4 at 581 brought 149. 4 brought 177.50. 18 at 758 brought 178. 66 at 813 brought 177.75. 5 at 854 brought 175. 11 head of heifers at 335 brought 170. 4 at 375. 375 brought 179. 6 at 436 brought 172. 19 at 549 brought 156. 7 at 756 brought 161. 18 at 896 brought 152. Butcher cows were 50 to 8250. Butcher bulls 59 to 92. Pairs were 1,000 to 1600. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sell every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
If somebody has a claim, all they have to do is call our office. That's it. Tell me what happened, and then after that, we turn it into our claims department. We don't ask you to go out and take photographs of your vehicle. We don't ask you to do anything through an app. We turn that claim in, and our adjusters will contact you, and then we send somebody out to look at the vehicle. No matter where it may be, if you're at work, you know, we coordinate to fit your schedule. If it's something on your home, the adjuster will come out, basically do an assessment of the damage, but it's all in our hands at that point. You know, the customer's not asked to do anything. We're not going to ask you to go get any estimates or download any app, take pictures, upload all that. That's our job. We take care of every bit of that.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
I always tell my customers if they have a problem with my beef to tell me, but if they love it and enjoy it, tell everybody. Well, this is Monty. And I just want to encourage everybody out there to enjoy beef and eat beef. And if you have an opportunity, look into buying a half or a whole beef from a local producer like me. It's born and raised and fed right there in Sweetwater, Oklahoma. It's processed locally. We're a third-party verified, all natural, and I guarantee it to be good. Look us up on Facebook, Tucker Family Beef.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
It actually, Lieutenant James, is what got me fired up about deer hunting today. Between that one and the one I seen on the other side of the river yesterday, I'm fired up about deer hunting. I might even have to go buy a tag. I don't know. Anyway, is there anywhere to buy a tag in Sayre?
Not that I'm aware of.
Not that I am.
Not now. There used
and
to be
Walmart here only, right?
Walmart, Atwoods.
Oh, Atwood's got them?
And I think Elk City Outdoors still sells them.
Oh, cool. Well, anyway, Lieutenant James Edward is going to join me to be my co-host for the rest of the show because he showed up early, so he's just going to regret sitting here for a while. But anyway, Lieutenant James Edwards, he is the a game warden in District 8, is that right?
District 7.
Seven. Anyway, I was close. Anyway, he's the lieutenant. He's in charge of some of these guys over here. If you've met some of our game wardens, they don't need no guidance. They're pretty good. But I've been meaning to ask you a question for years now.
Uh-oh.
And now that you're here on air, I'm going to ask you. So is being a game warden in Oklahoma, is it like being in the military? You're a lieutenant. We got Captain Jeff Hedricks. And then the rest of them are just game wardens. Did you have to go to a special officer school to be a lieutenant?
No. No, paramilitary structure.
Oh, whatever. And so, anyway, well, let's see what was happening last night. Grains and soybeans were higher in overnight trading on dry weather in much of the U.S. Southern Plains, though prices were pressured by the extension of the Black Sea Grain Initiative. Dry weather has prevailed in much of the southern plains, where hard red winter wheat is growing, and cool weather is sending wheat into dormancy, said Don Kenny, an agriculture meteorologist with MaxR. Winter kill is possible in parts of western Nebraska early this morning as temperatures and wind chills in the panhandle have dropped well below zero. Brr. Anyway, some precipitation is expected in southern parts of the region this weekend, which may improve moisture. Little or no rain has fallen in much of the southern plains in the past 2 weeks, according to the data from the National Weather Service. The U.S. Drought Monitor shows southwestern Kansas and parts of Oklahoma and Texas panhandles are suffering from an extreme drought, the worst possible rating. Just over 86% of Kansas, the biggest wheat producer in the United States, is seeing drought conditions, the monitor said. That's up from 72% 3 months ago and 50% at the beginning of 2022. In Oklahoma, 98% is suffering from drought, which is little change from 3 months ago, but up from 90% at the beginning of the calendar year. Prices, however, are being pressured after it announced the Black Sea Grain Initiative has been extended. Wheat futures for December delivery rose 5¾ cents to 8.30¾ a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures gained 1¼ penny to $9.30¼ a bushel. Corn for December delivery was up 4½ cents to 6.73½ a bushel. And that's all right, guys. I wanted to go up for about the next 5 or 6 days. And then when I get the harvest out, we needed to go back down to normal where it makes our feed. But just be patient until I get my corn out. Soybean futures for January delivery gained 9 pennies to 14.26 a bushel. Soy meal added $2.70 a bushel to our $2.70 to $4.05.20 a short ton, while soybean oil rose 73 cents to $70.95 a pound. What else is happening? We got, here's the weather for our ag belt, I call it, not necessarily the corn belt or southern plains. We just got a big agriculture belt right through the middle of the United States. Wind chill advisories are in effect for parts of western Nebraska today as temperatures plunge, according to the National Weather Service. Values overnight were forecast to fall as low as minus 20 degrees. They can have that, can't they?
Yeah, that's not good.
No, it's not good. Anyway, the cold wind chills could cause frostbite on exposed skin in less than 30 minutes. Further east, winter storm warnings remain in effect through tomorrow in parts of Michigan. And 6 inches of snow is expected. Another 6 inches is expected tonight, and an additional 3 to 6 tomorrow. Travel could be very difficult due to snow and ice-covered roads, and visibility is reduced to near zero at times. We got a pretty decent forecast for opening morning.
Yeah, it'll be nice tomorrow. That'll be real good. I don't think the winds are supposed to be that bad. I think it's supposed to be cold. So they ought to be moving. They're definitely moving because of the girls, but they ought to be moving just mainly because of that.
Is it because of the girls or is it because of the boys? Come on. Prove me wrong here.
Which one came first, the chicken or the egg?
Okay. Well, that cleared it up. Yeah, I guess you're right. The chicken come first, and then comes the egg. Anyway, have you got any numbers from what's been harvested? You got time to look that up during break?
I'll look it up during break.
All right, let's take a break, and when we come back, we'll see what the numbers are right now for harvest here in his area. And we'll be right back after this. But here's Jerry Nine's report from yesterday at the Woodward Livestock Auction.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. For sale last Tuesday, November 15th, we sold 683 cattle, 12 calves. Thursday, November 17th, we sold 2,955 calves and feeders for a total of 3,638 cattle for the week. Tuesday, better killing cows brought 67 to 79.50. 10 cows bring 54 to 72.5. Bulls brought 81 to 96.50. 3 to 4 year old open cows to breed, 92 to 108. We sold 33 black bred cows, 5 to 6 years old, 5 to 7 months bred, 1575. 5 to 8 year old bred cows, 1,000 up to 1,500. 9 and older bred cows, 800 to 1085. 5 to 8 year old pairs, 1375 to 1600. 350 to 550 weight steers, 8 to 15 higher. 3 to 350 steers, 204 to 229. 4 to 450, 213 to 230. 5 to 550, 185 to 219. 6 to 650, 165 to 181. 7 to 750, 173 to 179. 8 to 850 steers, 175 to 179.75. Hunter heifers, 3 to 350 weight heifers, 169.50 to 177. 4 to 450, 160 to 183. 5 to 550, 148 to 170. 6 to 650, 142 to 172. 18 heifers weighing 732, bring 165. And our 750 day weight heifers, 142 to 147. 8 heifers weighing 11, brought 120. We will have a sale this Tuesday, November 22nd. No sale Thursday, Thanksgiving Day. For the sale Tuesday, we got 40 bred cows running age. We got 35 other bred cows and pairs. We'll see you this Tuesday, 8 a.m. sharp. Thanksgiving, Jerry 9 and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Attention high school juniors and seniors. Western Equipment is hosting their annual Ag Tech Invitational on January 14th at our store in Plainview, Texas. Sign up to compete for a chance to win $60,000 in scholarships and $30,000 in prizes. This competition is open to any high school junior or senior interested in mechanics, agriculture, or just winning prizes. Parents and teachers, don't feel left out. You can tour our career expo to learn all about John Deere, Western Equipment, and other job opportunities within the company. Spots are limited, so register today at west-equip.com/competition.
The Depot Trading Company Mims and More store in downtown Elk City is one of Elk City's newest stores and one of Elk City's oldest buildings. When you step inside, you'll find a great selection of men's clothing, a couple of designer women's clothing lines, plus the most unique men's, pets, and household gifts, plus barbecue grills, spices, accessories, and indoor and outdoor party gear. And you can order online through their Facebook page. The Depot Trading Company Mims and More store, 318 South Main Street in downtown Elk City. Come on in and enjoy the ride.
America's beef producers have the best product in the world. From a backyard barbecue to a gourmet dinner at a four-star restaurant, if American beef is on the menu, you're in for some good eating. Our local beef producers raise a great product. As a financial institution, we're proud to be a part of it. Stop by and see us. Let's talk. First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre. Together we grow. Online at fnbec.bank.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with Hi-Pro. For Hi-Pro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock, and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done. Every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bats, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Cattlemen's Congress is located in the heart of cattle country and is far more than just a cattle show. Join them December 29th through January 14th to see the newest and most elite genetics North American cattlemen have to offer. Cattlemen's Congress is the gathering place of the cattle industry and offers sales of elite genetics, something for everyone's operation. Join them January 5th for a commercial cattlemen's luncheon from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. For a full schedule, sale info, and everything you need to know, visit cattlemanscongress.com.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Speaking of Cattlemen's Congress, the deadline is today for your entries. So, anyway, if you're listening out there and you guys plan on taking some cattle to show, because this is adult and children up there, juniors, I guess we should say. So, are you going to take any up there? You got some good cattle.
Yeah, I'm not going to take any, I think.
Why not?
Just too many other irons in the fire.
Here is your forecast, Long Ranger, for northwestern Oklahoma. And today, Freedom, you're my target. 28 currently at Freedom, 20 degrees wind chill. The winds are out of the north-northwest, 7 miles an hour with wind gust all the way up to 9 miles an hour. Humidity is 42%. Today, mostly cloudy, 34 for high. Tonight, really cold, 20. Tomorrow, 46. Tomorrow night, 19? Sunday, nice and warm, 54. 57 Monday, 60 Tuesday, and I looked at the long ranger, and we're going to be in the 60s most of next week. So after this little snow we got, and it's moisture's in the ground and we get some 60 degree weather, I bet there's some wheat and rye grows. So we hope anyway. All right, Lieutenant James Edward from the Oklahoma Department of Wildlife is in here. He is a game warden for Beckham County, and he's also he helps Jeff manage the rest of these game wardens with all these rowdy people he's gotten, mainly southwestern Oklahoma. So anyway, are you going deer hunting in the morning?
Yeah. Well, no, I probably won't go deer hunting in the morning, barring taking one with the front end of my truck.
Oh, yeah, I thought you did. I know your kids of yours do, at least. And what's the most anticipated morning of the hunter's dreams there in the morning?
By far. They say approximately, estimates are 200 to 250,000 people in the woods opening morning of deer gun season.
And how many game wardens are there? 77?
About 117 of us, so. There's a lot going on for sure. Those Facebook people watching, I got my Blaze Orange cap on. This is true Blaze Orange. You know, it's the only color that doesn't exist in nature. We can't stress how much to wear that tomorrow and always, especially in the woods. I saw quail hunters this last weekend up in Pack Saddle and Ellis counties and stuff like that. That we're wearing it even though it wasn't required, which to me is a good thing, because walking through some of those thickets and stuff, bird gets up and you swing and you don't see that blaze orange, you take a shot, it could be bad. And that's a reminder to all those people hunting quail and other things during this deer gun season, they have to wear the orange when they're in the field, either a cap or a vest. Obviously, if you put both of them on, I think you'll be that much more safe.
And just to help you out with your orange, you know, wear your orange vest or whatever and your orange caps tomorrow. People in the woods hunting deer tomorrow and being successful in their harvest are going to be the only people happy in orange tomorrow. Bedlam's tomorrow night, baby.
Yeah, well, she wants to claim it's the brightest orange, but it's really not the brightest orange.
Orange is so important. Yeah, I wear my orange all the time quail hunt, even if it's just the cap.
Yeah.
It's just...
only thing. You know, we see people that don't wear the cap, wear the vest, and, of course, both are required if you're deer hunting. But a lot of guys, but that may be the only thing they see. You know, you may be above the brush enough or something.
Or the fence line. You might be on the other side of the fence line. And because I had an accident hunting at an early age, and I swung around, and it was a fence line where the sand had been blowing. And they got up, the quail got up, and my brother-in-law ended up with a few pellets in his face.
Yep. It's an unfortunate deal. Each year we have some incidents that a lot of times it's hunter error, but then also a lot of times they just didn't see them, and right. So the way to make them be seen, put that daylight fluorescent orange on there and wear it at all times when in the field and coming to and from, because I've seen guys, I took it off whenever I came out. Well, guess what, that orange is still actually a little bit visible even when it gets dark. It kind of has almost like a glow about it that will help. If people don't see you exactly, they might say, what in the world is that? So, again, we have incidents every year that I think would probably be saved by people wearing orange. Even when you're in that blind, it's required. Even though somebody can't see me in there, well, maybe that's the only thing they see,
Yeah, it's amazing, especially on social media. All these people have got to have that picture without their orange on, and that's fine and dandy, but I actually think hunter orange when you're a hunter is cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's what you're in. What's the difference make?
It's your uniform for hunting.
Yeah, I mean. And
now the game wardens, I don't know, they're pretty sneaky. Hey, you actually got one fan.
Uh-oh.
This is Paul Cornett.
Uh-oh.
Tell James hello for me. Beckham County is blessed with a very good game warden in Lieutenant James. And I agree with you, Mr. Cornett. About time for you to come back on the show, sir.
Paul's a great hand. I followed in his footsteps in Caddo County in 2001, and he's now working for the Department of Ag and does a great job there. Always of help and always there to talk and answer questions and everything. And his son is followed in his footsteps over in Caddo County as the game warden over there and doing a great job from everything I understand. So it's a great group of guys that we've been around. I've been around for 22 years now. This will be my 22nd deer season. It's been a journey. Things have changed tremendously. But the things that remain true are just be sure what you're doing and where you're at. First off, if you don't have permission to be there, don't be there. Get permission before you go. Make sure you're targeting what lies beyond and all those things that will keep us safe. And hopefully we'll have a good season and a good harvest. Speaking of which, I cracked the numbers there.
You read them off.
You know, Beckham County right now, setting from October 1 through today, is about 260. The total deer harvested, Custer 173, Dewey 265, Ellis 190, Greer 167, Harmon 101, Jackson County 247, Kiowa 205, Roger Mills 309, Tillman 169, Ouachita 132, for a total in District 7, those counties that I just read off, of 2,218, and compared to statewide, it's 43,138. What I heard the other day on a meeting we were online at, that current buck to doe harvest was 46-47% doe.
That's good.
The closer we can get it to that 50%, the better off we are. There's been years when it was down in that 30-35%, and that's not good.
Yeah, because the biologist, Dallas Barber. He in this rut report that he put out in that email that I got earlier this week, you know, he says people were concerned about the drought, but you know, it was like I learned from 2011 and 12 during that drought, our buck size was actually bigger, and a lot of farmers were missing crops that summer that had any, and that, I think that was the start of the high fence deal, because deer come into those peanuts and alfalfa that had under irrigation, because where else did they have to go? They didn't have anywhere else to go. And then again this year, the state biologist, big game biologist, Dallas Barber, is urging all deer hunters to do their part in the state's overall deer herd health by harvesting antlerless deer. The meat's better anyway.
Yeah, those old stinky bucks this time of year, they get all that smell and everything else, and the hormones are going good. Another thing, I've had a couple of people, you know, up in especially Sweetwater, up towards Raiden areas, kind of express some not seeing as many deer as they're used to seeing. But I'll tell a lot of people that maybe not watching these spots, but those oak moss and stuff that, where there's oak trees, there's a lot of acorns this year.
Yes.
And so those deer are not having to go hit the green fields and stuff a whole lot just yet. They are some, but man, I tell you what, we checked hunters in Ellis County the other day, had acorns in their crop. So quail actually got acorns in them.
I've seen that.
So it's one of those deals that native –
Have
forage.
You ever tried? Have you ever tried an acorn?
No,
I did. I only tried it once, but I don't see. It's bitter as it comes.
Yeah.
But you're right. Deer, and I didn't know about the quail deal until this year. But deer and turkeys will bypass corn to go to an acorn.
The native forage is actually better for the wildlife and more preferred.
There's no aflatoxin in it.
Yeah.
I got a question for you. Uh-oh. This is a good question. They just moved here from Colorado, uh-huh. And this just shows you how it's different from one state to the other. What is the horn length limit on a spike?
Okay, to be classified as an antler deer in the state of Oklahoma, it has to have 3 inches of antler above the hairline. So if it is less than 3 inches of antler above the hairline, it is actually considered an antlerless or quote doe. If it's above that, it's considered a buck.
Yep.
So it takes up for that. If it's out there at any distance and you're not sure, you think it's a doe, you're not 100% sure and you shoot it thinking it is a doe and it's got less than 3-inch antlers, you're still good as long as you have the right tag and everything. So we have that pop up every year. It's just a determination that we made years ago to say, okay, can't always ID them at that distance, so we'll make it where it's 3 inches. Hopefully, if it's 3 inches, they can see it.
Man, really sure. You're popular on my show. Mr. Edwards and Mr. Cornett. Who calls you guys Mr.? Anyway, Mr. Edwards and Mr. Cornett are both great assets to Western Oklahoma, and I will agree. I will agree on that deal right there. So, anyway, we're going to take a break, come back, and I'll have your Southwestern Oklahoma Long Ranger forecast for you. And then we're going to get into a little more details on some law. We have a new laws that have changed, but yep. they end at, what, midnight tonight with that thermal stuff? And so, anyway, we want to clarify some stuff. So we'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Attention high school juniors and seniors. Western Equipment is hosting their annual Ag Tech Invitational on January 14th at our store in Plainview, Texas. Sign up to compete for a chance to win $60,000 in scholarships and $30,000 in prizes. This competition is open to any high school junior or senior interested in mechanics, agriculture, or just winning prizes. Parents and teachers, don't feel left out. You can tour our career expo to learn all about John Deere, Western Equipment, and other job opportunities within the company. Spots are limited, so register today at west-equip.com/competition.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Wouldn't it be great to partner with a feed company that knows all about the cattle industry? A company that owns and raises cattle themselves? A company that knows the blood, sweat, and tears you put into the operation every day? That company is Hobart Farm and Garden. They are your local high-pro feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Red Angus is probably most commonly known for the maternal breed. More maternal type cows. A heifer lays down, has a calf. She goes over and gets the calf up instantly, and the calf goes to nursing, and they're very protective of their calves too. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, November 11th. 2,598 head were sold. 10 head of steers at 338 brought 246. 29 at 451 brought 220. 6 at 496 brought 186. 8 at 685 brought 155. 5 head of heifers at 260 brought 202. 11 at 462 brought $1.69. 19 at 528 brought $1.65. 8 at 601 brought $159.50. 15 at 637 brought $155. 24 at 735 brought $176. 8 at 987 brought $140.50. Butcher cows were 589.50. Butcher bulls 45 to 97. Bred cows were 600 to 1610. Pairs brought 1085 to 1825. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sell every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hello, this is Sean Wyatt. I have a cow-calf operation, and I buy my feed from Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Kent will provide the best service possible. I highly recommend giving SEI Agritech a call about your feed and minerals.
If you want better feed and better results, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City, your local Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, located on South Randall in Elk City.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
I know. So are you kin to him? You're not? Okay. All right. Anyway, I guess Lieutenant James has a second fan. And I probably won't mention his names, but anyway, we know he's high up in the wildlife department. Well, I know he's high up in the wildlife department. He wants you to remind hunters what they need to do about their tag.
You know, back in the old days, 2018 and prior, you know, you had to go to a physical store or print it off and have the actual printed license in your possession.
Yes.
Now, with the advent of the app and the instant purchasing, you need to buy it before you go afield. We're seeing some of that not happen, and you don't want that because all of that's time stamped. We know exactly when you bought it and everything else. So buy it before you go. If you know you're going to go get it. Get online, get it before you go out in the field. Don't wait until you get out there and you're already out in the field, because when you leave the field, leave the road or whatever, or leave the vehicle to go with the weapon to go hunting, you need the license before you go out.
Right.
And so
you got to have proof of the license in possession. Yep. While you're out there
at the time that you're in the field,
not after,
hour after, not 2 hours, not whenever.
Because the thing that I found out, I have my license, and we know this. What's the game warden's name in Ellis County?
Ben.
Ben. And we were hunting around Ellis County wildlife management there. I had my license and everything, and he stopped, did his job. It doesn't matter whether he knew me or not or whatever. Russ was with me.
Yep.
And he wanted to check the deal. I couldn't get it up on my phone.
Sure.
And he took all the information, and then he texted me later, you're good.
Yeah. So, there's times, you know, that the app, or if your service is not good, you're not going to be able to pull
it.
So
if you get out there and you shoot a deer and then you decide to buy your tag and you don't have service, guess what?
Yeah.
You have service with that pen and paper, don't you?
And it's not cheap, and it can actually lead to revocation of your licenses for periods of time, and not just here. It can lead to
other
that around 49 other states, currently fixing to be 50. But man, it's so easy. Why not do it prior to?
Yep.
You know, we used to have runs at our headquarters and at all the license vendors, you know, the night before deer season.
Right.
And of course, that's changed with this. But like I said, they need to buy it prior to. You know, all your money, that the wildlife department is funded solely from license sales and matching federal dollars. And so when you're talking about habitat improvement, when you're talking about buying more land for public hunting, when you're talking about enforcement of the laws to pay for all the biologists to help maintain those areas, it's all paid for by your licenses. We're not getting money from the legislature. We don't get that appropriation. So when they talk about the budget up there, they're not involving us. So it's very important that you buy your license to help wildlife conservation.
Yeah, all you get from the Capitol is grief.
Yeah, it's a different place.
Yep.
But
this year was different, I guess. Let you explain it. The different with the using thermals for hog hunting and coyote hunting, it kicked in effect a couple weeks ago.
Yep, November 1, it became legal for landowners who have an agricultural tax exemption, lessees who have an agricultural tax exemption, or who they give written permission to control hogs and coyotes on private land day or night without regard to season regulations, meaning they can use thermals, lights, all of that stuff, night, day, and everything. So it cannot at any time be done from the road. So you have to be on the property. You can use motor vehicles to aid in that on the private property, but again, you have to have the written permission, or you have to be the owner with the ag tax, or you have to be the lessee with the ag tax. The other thing with that change came a change in the what we refer to as the headlighting or the spotlighting laws, and or the hunting with the aid of a motorized vehicle laws. The minimum fine now is $1,000.
That's not minimum. That's a lot. That's,
and then you add on top of that court cost. So the minimum ticket that you're going to face for the first offense is $1,239. If you get caught at night doing anything wrong or using a motor vehicle doing anything wrong. Also, we can revoke that license. The court can revoke your license for a period up to 10 years. If you have been convicted or pled guilty to any of those charges in the previous 3 years, you can't participate at night. You can't be out there at night. So it's something that we're going to take very seriously. The other thing is you cannot do it starting tomorrow, starting tonight, basically at midnight through the 16-day deer gun season, and then also the 18th through the 31st of December with the holiday antlerless, because it is not allowed during any open deer gun seasons.
Okay, so there you go. That should explain it. If you got any questions, that hunting regulation is very
or
selfish.
On the app
or whatever.
Or holler at us. We'll answer those questions. Again, like I said, we don't want any issues. We want everybody to play by the rules and make sure that they are being safe. It's, you know, one of our concerns with anything at night, identify your target and what lies beyond. I have heard of a couple of instances, especially south of here, where some livestock has been shot.
Imagine that.
And thankfully, I think everything, at least one of them, was taken care of and dealt with. But we don't want any of that. We don't want anybody having any issues. We don't want any landowners getting cattle shot or anything. So.
Well, I've been out with the thermals with permission from you guys, and there's no way that you can that you can mistake a cow for a coyote. I'm sorry.
Well, there's another deal with that. I've seen lower quality optics that might be questionable what it is. I've seen high quality optics that, you know, it's not, you know, you can definitely differentiate. So,
got a question for you.
Oh,
listen closely. If I'm off the road on my state right of way at my own property, and I step out to shoot a coyote on my property, am I legal?
Cannot be in the right of way.
So, we talked about this on my show yesterday when I said I put my toes on the other side of the fence. I was kidding yesterday, but anyway, no, you got to be on the other side of the fence.
Yeah, the right of way is not open to shooting from or across, and that includes not only road right of ways, but railroad right of ways.
Right.
So
in some states it is legal, but
some
not
states,
not in Oklahoma.
Kansas, I think, when I went up there several years ago and pheasant hunted.
Oh, yeah, we hunt the road.
Yeah, you hunt down the road, you know, so it's a different deal. But here, state of Oklahoma, it's got to be across, out of the right of way before you can fire from any weapon.
Yes, very good. Okay, so we got deer season starting in the morning. Quail hunting stops on WMAs, most of them?
Yep. The first 9 days of deer gun season, so from Saturday through the following Sunday, it's shut down to give deer hunters the chance to be uninterrupted.
Yep.
So any quail hunters trying to hunt Black Kettle, Pack Saddle, Ellis County, Cooper, Beaver, any
Sandy.
Of those. So, Sandy
Speaking
Sanders.
Speaking of Sandy Sanders, is there anything legally going on down there during this season?
Right now, you could archery hunt Sandy Sanders. It's not open to gun deer hunting.
Okay. Cool.
So, you can archery hunt. You just have to wear one or the other on the blaze orange.
Yep.
Your archery hunting.
Yeah, and so what's the reports you're hearing from the WMAs? Is it looking okay?
Oh, you know, with the drought, Sandy, big thing down there is the water.
I know. I got property right
no
next
water.
To it.
Black Kettle's been fairly good. They had some rains. Ellis Pack Saddle has been fairly good.
Yeah,
they've
got some extra rains in there.
So,
ever since the Durham fire, they have got good rains through there, and I'm happy for them.
Yep, good deal.
Yeah, but down there, Sandy Sanders, I feel the pain. When I was chasing my neighbor's bull that I thought was mine this morning, And it's not muddy.
Yeah, it's not.
Not muddy at all. But there's been showers. They gave us some grass down there, but the ponds look like we need a hurricane.
Yep.
Yeah, we need a hurricane.
Just want to urge everybody, you know, before we get off, is if you see something, say something. You know, poaching is stealing. So we have these guys out here. We have cell phones. You can call the sheriff's office, whatever. But see something, say something. Even if you don't know 100% that there's anything wrong, let us figure that out.
I almost called you guys last night, but I got her handled myself. I had a guy decided that he wanted to drive through my cornfield down there at Granite last night. Well, he was in a two-wheel drive.
Uh-oh.
He didn't make it to the corn. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I'm letting the Kiowa County Sheriff handle that for trespassing.
Yep.
And I'm not giving. He needs to pay his fine. Anyway, it's not that hard. I always call my neighbor if I shoot a deer and it jumps across the fence. Just because it's your deer doesn't mean you can trespass to go get
it. Gotta have permission.
And I know there's a lot of tough guys out there, but just do it properly.
Yep.
Lieutenant James Edwards on the show with me today. Thank you so much. And everybody, have a great weekend and good luck with opening day of deer season, and thanks for all the participation today. It's Jimmy Clark with Today in Ag, and God bless.